Hi, this is Kim Catola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Catola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And now, Kim Catola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
In 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court granted American women the right to abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. Since then, very few people have asked what impact, if any, that decision has meant in the lives of American men. This week on Cradle My Heart Radio, we're joined by Catherine Coyle, author of Men and Abortion, A Path to Healing, which is based on her research as a doctor of developmental psychology and a clinical psychiatric nurse. Catherine, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you.
Catherine, I became familiar with your work while I was researching the impact of abortion on men, and I found that you are one of very few people even asking the question. So what are the limitations of trying to research how abortion affects men, and what sort of studies are out there? What sort of studies do we already have at hand that we could even go to for reference?
Okay, let's begin with some of the limitations or challenges. Because abortion is such a personal and private issue, it's not something that people are always willing to speak about. Then we have the fact that men are marginalized when it comes to this issue. They're treated like bystanders. And so I think sometimes men themselves might be somewhat confused about how they're feeling and where to go and who to speak to about it. We also have problems in research in general, recruiting large numbers of participants, and the cost of that kind of research when you want to do a large-scale study is very high. And there really there are not funds for doing this kind of research there. So those are all challenges. Now, there are, at this time, approximately 50 studies, which is not a lot when we're talking about trying to develop a body of research on any given topic. And of those studies, only, I believe, two had very large samples. And by large, I mean over 1,000 in the subject pool that the participants were drawn from. And those large studies are important because as you hit a critical mass when it comes to participants, then you can start to generalize the findings from your studies.
Sure.
The studies out there are assorted in terms of type. There's quantitative studies, meaning we do a lot of number crunching, collecting numerical data. There's qualitative, where you try to do in-depth, interesting interviews with the participants to get a real sense of what their experience was on a very personal and more deep level. Case studies, clinical observations, those latter two tend to be things that practicing therapists would publish. So there is an assortment out there, but we need more studies. We need larger sample sizes in our studies, and to do that we need funding.
You know, and as I was doing my research, I find that, you know, we have a variety of sources to look to get information about women. Many of them base their conclusions, though, and their large quantitative research on Alan Guttmacher, which, as most of our listeners know, has ties to Planned Parenthood in its in its roots as an organization. Even the Centers for Disease Control will go to the Guttmacher studies to publish. And the Centers for Disease Control for information about women and abortion relies on self-reporting of the states. So some states don't report. Does the government have any way of tracking how many men, for example, have experienced being part of a relationship where an abortion took place? Does the government have any interest in knowing the role and the scope of men's involvement with abortion, if you will?
Sadly, no. To my knowledge, they do not collect that data, nor are they interested in that kind of data.
Okay, and so, and is that because of the privacy provision? I mean, I'm just curious why such a common experience would have escaped any sort of study.
I think it is simply not on people's radar, and I would say that about both sides of the issue. If you're pro-abort, pro-choice, whatever you want to call it, men are in the way. The last thing they need is to start acknowledging men as having any rights. That would only complicate their current arguments and perhaps get in the way of women's easy access to abortion. There are so many pressing issues in our society that I think the male role and the fallout for men because of abortion is just not something that many people or many organizations have really attended to.
Sure. Okay, and I agree. I mean, I think that the idea that there would be a sympathetic look at how abortion negatively impacts men is definitely not a popular idea. Most people want to even engage a conversation in. The stereotype is, you know, that abortion liberated him from his responsibilities, if you will. Maybe. I'm not sure if that's even true, but
it certainly
seems
did.
An impression anyway.
It's ironic that the very group that has worked so hard for equality would now deny men any rights when it comes to this very serious issue.
Mm-hmm. And you've stated, Catherine Coyle, our guest, that abortion is a death experience. And I'd like for you to discuss that as a basis for the rest of our conversation. So many people are unaware of what abortion actually involves. Explain that or flesh that out for us about abortion as a death experience.
When abortion, you're very familiar, I know, with the language used by those who support abortion on demand. The language used is chosen carefully to sanitize it, make it sound like nothing much different than, you know, a minor growth removal. But, of course, all of us who have taken middle school science know the fact. We know when life begins. We know that people don't get frantic about a mole removal, but when it comes to an unplanned or unintended pregnancy that is deemed convenient, that's a whole different story. But to sanitize that, again, it's referred to in terms that aren't as offensive to the public. Even the expression termination of pregnancy, which is used often in research, is chosen carefully. It's not as offensive. But we all know what's really happening here. A decision has been made, a very deliberate decision, to end a life. And because we all know that at some level, it is, without question, a death experience. It's an irrevocable decision, and it has lasting consequences. And even for the non-religious individual, abortion can pose existential challenges that are very difficult.
Mm. And so men, when they participate, and, you know, there are two groups generally, men who don't want the abortion but who have no legal standing in the lives of their unborn children, and men who either press for the abortion or become passive in the face of her decision. What emotions do men experience after abortion? I suppose it's different depending upon what his role in the decision was.
Well, I think across the board, for, I would say for most men, grief is the primary emotion. It's a grief and loss issue. And that grief can be profound. And the abortion can often signify not just loss of the child, of fatherhood, but it's other losses, because so often the relationship ends. Or one's hope for the future, particularly among men who really wanted to see that child born. They have now lost hopes they had for the future. Men may lose self-esteem, or may have to restructure their own self-image because of how that's been damaged by abortion. And this can happen even when men do not press for the abortion. This can happen even when men are passive, which I personally think is very common, that men assume a passive and allow the woman to make the decision because they're trying to support her. And at the time, they think that's the best way to do it.
And so as we think about this, that men are experiencing grief, but much like women after abortion, nobody recognizes that for what it is. We also have this phenomenon of the trauma of the experience being dismissed by mental health professionals. The American Psychological Association has dismissed post-abortion stress in women. They say the overriding reaction is relief. And then they, I think, in my opinion, they throw women under the bus by saying, well, if you're, you know, if you have a mental health problem afterwards, you were probably mentally challenged in some way, emotionally challenged in some way before the abortion. You know, in other words, only crazy people are upset by abortion. You believe men, though, are traumatized by this. And tell me about that divide between your findings as, again, a PhD in developmental psychology and a clinical psychiatric nurse, and this official position from the APA that abortion doesn't harm anyone emotionally or mentally.
There is no question in my mind that some men and some women experience full-blown PTSD that is directly related to, is a direct consequence of their abortion experience. We know this is true. We have used valid and reliable measures of PTSD, indicating that some of them will develop PTSD. Others will only have some symptoms but not meet what is referred to as the diagnostic criteria for PTSD. Why the other side won't acknowledge that is because it threatens abortion on demand. And it's that simple. They also like to take all the studies that have been done, and not just the ones pertaining to men now, but women too, and refer that to that group as nothing but junk science. Junk science is repeated in the mainstream media, and people remember junk science and assume it must not be good research. What is not in the mainstream media is the fact that just like their studies, our studies have to go through peer review before they are published in academic journals. And so they do have credibility. And there is no question, again, in my mind, that some individuals do suffer from PTSD that is directly related to abortion. And even if that number is small, and we do not know, we do not have the research to know what percent suffer from that after abortion, but even if it's small, my question to the other side is, should we not be helping them? Should we not be compassionate about what they're experiencing?
It's a great question. And, you know, for someone listening who is not familiar with this debate that has gone on in academia and in the culture, what are the signs of PTSD after abortion? And do they differ between women and men?
No, PTSD is, I'm oversimplifying now, but it is a serious anxiety disorder. But you see three types of symptoms commonly. Avoiding reminders of the original trauma, reliving aspects of the original trauma, and arousal, which refers to symptoms of higher anxiety, maybe being startled easy, perhaps having difficulty concentrating.
Okay, and we see this in men and women after abortion.
Yes.
PTSD, and how does that,
regardless of gender, is, you know, a diagnosis that is experienced similarly.
And what sort of treatment, what sort of hope is there if someone has an extreme reaction? How do you approach helping someone in that position, men and,
you know,
let's talk about men first.
People who have, again, both men and women, but if they're having symptoms of PTSD, it's really best that they see a professional counselor who has been trained in dealing with that diagnosis and treating people who are suffering from that. Because I don't mean to imply here that someone with PTSD is not grieving and doesn't need some help with grief. They do. But once somebody moves into this category of this psychological diagnosis, they really need a professional counselor. Now, if they're dealing with primarily the grief over the abortion, there are places online they can go for referrals for counseling. They can go to meninabortion.net, which is a website for the Men and Abortion Network. They can also go to meninabortion.info, and then I believe both Heartbeat and CareNet do have 800 numbers, which I do not have those in front of me right now, but those organizations can often find somebody in a very specific geographic area that can help a man. Some men may want to talk to clergy that they're comfortable with, and those people can help them with grief issues. But again, if it's full-blown PTSD, I would strongly advise them to find a sympathetic and empathetic professional in their area.
Okay. And your website you reference is menandabortion.net. And we have the resources also linked in our blog roll at cradlemyheart.org. So please visit either of those websites if you're experiencing this and you need help directly. Because, as you might guess, there's a little bit of a double bind. If you go to a mainstream psychologist who's been trained that abortion is not an issue, they probably don't ask about it in the history. And if you bring it up, they may not connect the dots for you that's where your trauma is residing. So I think it'd be really important, as you follow Dr. Coyle's advice here, that we would, you know, get with someone who is trained and understands this issue. You know, here's a question for you that I think is difficult for me to ask as a woman, and I don't know, but, you know, how you feel about discussing it also as a woman researcher and clinician on this, but how does abortion impact masculine identity? I've heard it said that it's a very emasculating experience. Tell me about masculine identity after abortion for men.
Well, abortion violates very traditional male roles, protecting those in their charge, caring for them, keeping them from harm. It can bring up issues from their own past related to their own father. Some of that may be brought up and need to be dealt with in a new way. I remember one fellow telling me that one of the hardest things for him after the abortion was feeling like he was the worst father than his own, who had abandoned him. So if you look at more traditional role males of being strong and taking care of, and sometimes being stoic is a part of that, abortion threatens all of those. And I think we all know this. I think we know this by our common sense. This is not something that we need to research. It's something we know, everyone knows, and yet, sadly, men continue to be marginalized.
You know, and even to bring up the idea, people, that, okay, a woman's body, yes, is involved through 9 months of pregnancy, but we behave as if there's no bodily involvement from men. You know, and I think this is why, you know, again, just for common sense, we should understand that the integrity of men is compromised with abortion. So what's the best approach in light of these possible negative consequences and documented negative consequences in your work? What's the best approach for men who are facing the abortion decision right now, given that they, again, don't really have any legal standing to prevent an abortion if they don't want it?
Well, I think we need, first of all, to include male partners as much as possible in pre-abortion counseling and make it genuine options counseling. Let them know that there are resources out there to help them so that the decision, which is irrevocable, isn't made in haste and in fear. So we need to include them. We need to, and this is going backwards now, we need to raise our boys to be assertive about these things. I'm not sure that's happening either, but that's backing up, I think, a little farther than you intended in your question. But so let's get back to that. We need to include men in pre-abortion counseling. We need to encourage them and support them as they try to be supportive of their partner. Now, of course, there's going to be cases where men are absolutely opposed. It's real clear to everyone involved they're opposed. And sadly, all we can really do is tell them that they don't have legal rights if they don't know it already. I mean, there have been men who have attempted to use the court system to prevent an abortion. None have been successful. But I think we need to be honest with them that their hands are tied legally, and we need to be there afterwards to help them. And it's a shame we're in that situation, but that's the way it is. Now, I don't want to ignore the fact that there are cases where men forfeit their rights if they're being abusive, obviously. We want to protect woman and child from an abusive male. So when I'm talking about including men, I'm talking about men who genuinely want to support their partner.
And I agree with you, though. We need to be training our sons and get the chastity and abstinence message to them just as strongly and just as clearly to girls. And, of course, the way of the world now is that many girls are aggressive, and it's a very difficult battle for teens and young men to remain chaste. So I applaud you bringing that up, because that's definitely – nothing will change until we start there, I think.
Yeah. It's a far different world than it was even when the baby boomers were growing up. And there are many challenges to raising kids with healthy attitudes about sex, but also responsible attitudes.
In closing, I just want to give you the opportunity to maybe, you know, if there's something that we have not brought up that you feel is important that people understand about this issue for men and abortion, please, I want to give you the opportunity to have the last word on it here.
Oh, that's a big question. I'm usually accused of having so many words. I think that for those men who are in a situation, I encourage them to do everything they can to fight for the life of their child with much gentleness and kindness towards their partner. And for those who were unable to do that or feel they failed to do that, I encourage them to get some help, get some counseling, work towards forgiving themselves, because this is forgivable too.
Wonderful. Thank you. A message of grace and forgiveness is a perfect note to end on. Catherine Coyle, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being with us here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim, and God bless your work.
Catherine Coyle is the author of Men and Abortion, A Path to Healing, based on her research as a doctor of developmental psychology and clinical psychiatric nurse. You can learn more about her work at our website at cradlemyheart.org. Now stay with us. Coming up, your calls as we discuss this week's top news stories on the life issue, including the story of Hercules and Leo, two chimpanzees who were recognized by a New York court as legal persons this month. We'll talk about that. Stay with us here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
With others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. With Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being here for the live portion of Cradle My Heart Radio tonight. And for those listening on our Faith Radio Network, we really appreciate that. And just a program note that I'm sorry that the preview of our conversation for this live half hour was dated, and we discussed the chimpanzees as persons story last week, and maybe actually a couple of weeks ago, but you can go to cradlemyheart.org if you want to learn more about that discussion and reference the podcast there. And it's an interesting conversation because it shows how our views evolve. And our views evolve in context of the culture around us. And that was something we talked about at length last week. And we didn't get a chance to get all of the callers on the air. So many called with some great stories of having started out pro-life but maybe acted against their own pro-life convictions because they felt that they had no other choice to make. But then became completely supportive of life from conception to natural birth. Others talked about being pro-life but being uneasy with telling women what to do because they bear the pregnancy bodily. There was a gentleman who called with that point of view. And after hearing what Catherine Coyle had to say about the impact of abortion on men, I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. If you're a man, do you feel disqualified from the abortion decision and from the abortion conversation in our culture? Do you feel it is strictly a women's issue because of the demands of the pregnancy? 800-811-3003 is our number, and I would love to hear your thoughts about that. We just heard an extensive conversation about the detrimental impact of abortion on men. And I think it's devastating for men when they abdicate and when they turn over that decision and when they disqualify themselves, I think in large part because that's what the culture tells them they should do. I don't think men arrive at that position naturally. I think they are taught that that's how they ought to view it. But maybe I'm wrong about that. What do you think? 800-811-3003 is our number. I think man's impulse, that is to protect. Man's impulse is to advance the family. If it's a, you know, if he's acting on his best instincts, and if he loves the woman that he's with. 800-811-3003. We all know that both men and women are capable of just using one another sexually, and then the results may look very different. I'd love to hear your thoughts about how your viewpoint has or hasn't evolved over the years, as to whether or not you started out pro-choice as I did, and are now pro-life as I am. And I didn't believe at one point that I would say there needs to be no exception for rape or incest. But that's where I stand today, that the children remain innocent. And it's our job as the bystanders and as the potential supporters of women in those tragic circumstances, it's our job to make that circumstance better for her. It is not the job of the abortionist to wipe out the problem, because it doesn't go away. It only creates new problems in the lives of the women who choose it. 800-811-3003. We had a caller last week who began to share her story at the very end of the program, and I spoke with her after we went off the air, and she graciously agreed to return to tell us more about how her view has evolved and to just share a little bit of her story. And it's an anonymous caller. She is an anonymous listener. And as you may not know, if you're new to the program, you can always call us without using a name. We definitely understand the need for privacy and respect it here at Cradle My Heart Radio. Here's our number, 800-811-3003. But we've gotten back in touch with this listener because you had very strong feelings about this last week and didn't have the time to be able to express all that was on your heart about it. Thank you for being with us again here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
For those who may not have been listening,
sorry.
Share your story with us just a little bit.
Okay. I grew up in a Christian family. I always had every intention of remaining pure until I got married, and I did. But as our marriage started falling apart because of his alcoholism and just the lack of trust and cheating, a variety of things happened, and he cheated on me multiple times. And I guess it was a revenge thing, and I cheated on him too. And somewhere in there I got pregnant either with his child or someone else's, that other person's, and I had an abortion because I didn't really see any other option. My husband was urging me to do that because he didn't want to have any more children and he didn't want the responsibility. Just heartbreaking because it was such a mess. It was such a mess. And I just didn't feel like I had any other options. And if I had trusted in my church and in my family, I wouldn't have made that decision, but I made it on my own, and it was horrible, and I regret it every day. I just don't think we can blame innocent children for our mistakes, and I don't think that no matter what the circumstances of the conception, that child is a beautiful person created by God, and it deserves to live. And now in the day and age that we're in right now, there's virtually no shame as far as that goes for people who get pregnant outside of marriage. And so if they don't want the child, take the 9 months. Give it to a family that's been on a waiting list to adopt a child for years. A child is such a blessing, and we need to get back to protecting life, because when we don't protect innocent babies, we stop protecting other people too, innocent elderly people. And yeah, we just really need to focus on that.
You know, and when you had made the decision to share your story, and I really thank you for that, because it takes a lot of courage to talk about your failings and to talk about such private matters. And so I thank you for that, and I know that you're doing that for the benefit of others tonight. And, you know, when you made this decision, I think what you were trying to impress upon us is the fact that, look, this went against my values, but I was overwhelmed by the circumstances that I had put myself in. And so abortion seemed like a way out of the mess that you had made, the way you expressed it, that, you know, life had just become a mess. And I think that, you know, it's really important that people would understand that, that there's this, when we get to feel overwhelmed, we panic sets in, and we just don't know how we're going to react until we're in that situation. And I think that's why, as you've said, it's so important that we have our values straight and that we know and trust that we can go to the people who share those values to uphold us and support us in that time of need.
Right. And don't, first of all, if you're not involved with someone, don't get involved with someone who doesn't have absolutely the same standards to value life. And a man's position in this is very important, because it was my husband that pressured me, that coerced me into that this was the only real solution. And if you're the father of a baby that's not yet born, you need to protect that child, and you need to stand by the woman. And I think that we need men to stand up again and be men and, yes, take care of their families. The sexual revolution basically just gave men the right to walk away. The women's lib thing, and the children are the ones that are suffering.
And well, and the men too, because we know that this was part of what you had said to me when we spoke off the air. You know, you can make your choices, but you can't choose your consequences. And the same is true for men. Even if they choose to try to behave as if, you know, their actions have no consequences simply because they don't bear a pregnancy in their body, of course they have a conscience. And of course, those consequences follow us. We cannot choose our consequences. There's a natural law involved here, not just God's law, not just the law written on our hearts. But, you know, we know the truth, that we have this obligation to protect our young. And yet, you know, when we don't, we think that we can do that scot-free, and neither men nor women can escape the consequence. I really want to thank you for listening, and for sharing your story with us tonight. And I just pray that someone has really taken to heart what you've said, because it's a strong warning, but it's also spoken in love. And so I thank you so much for joining us to share that with us.
Thank you.
Our number is 800-811-3003. I'm Kim Cottola, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio. And if you know a man who is suffering after abortion, he may not even be expressing that to you. He may have shut down emotionally and not be talking about things at all. There are some great resources that we've put together at CradleMyHeart.org. We offer a free ebook through our ministry called Someone Stronger, Helping Men Take Heart After Abortion, which is stories from the life of Christ, the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Not necessarily about men, not a ministry to men who have participated in abortion, but a ministry to men who have been overcome spiritually by a spirit that made them mute and passive, by a spirit that made them unholy. And how Jesus interacted with these men has a great teaching and a great application for men in the aftermath of abortion. Again, it's a little ebook called Someone Stronger, and it's free at CradleMyHeart.org. And also, this week's guest, Catherine Coyle, has written an ebook, and she also has other resources available at her website, which is linked at CradleMyHeart.org. I know that men may not want to call and share their stories, but if you do, that's fine. We're here for you at 800-811-3003. We'd love to hear, again, your thoughts about men being disqualified from the abortion decision or from the abortion conversation. Is that your current opinion, and have you always felt that way, or did you at one time believe that, but now you see it differently? Share your thoughts about where your opinion stands today, especially if things have changed in your mind and in your heart. 800-811-3003 is our number. Again, Kim Katola is my name, and I would love to speak with you. You don't have to give your name. You can call us anonymously. But please do join us at 800-811-3003.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others. Find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and we're live with you tonight at 800-811-3003, talking about how your views on abortion have changed over the years. If you have an opinion about abortion and men, would love to have that part of the conversation tonight. Our guest was Catherine Coyle, one of the very few people anywhere doing research on the impact of abortion on men. If you're a regular listener of this program, you know the challenges, because I try to talk about this, the challenges to getting good research about abortion. The United States government does not collect data other than the voluntary reports of abortion providers. There is no other oversight of abortion providers other than what they choose to voluntarily report to the Centers for Disease Control. Centers for Disease Control then also looks to the Guttmacher Institute as a source of a primary research source of information about abortion. The problem with that is the Guttmacher Institute is very upfront about stating the fact that they are an abortion rights advocacy organization. And so they have a bias and an agenda. And it's very difficult to get objective data from groups that are advocacy groups. So there are lots of problems with abortion research in America as it stands today. But outside of all of that, there is no one asking the question how many men are even involved, much less what sorts of problems do men face. And so if you think that's wrong, tell me about it. If you think that's exactly as it should be, that this is a woman's issue only and men really are not part of the equation, once the sexual act is performed and the pregnancy happens, he needs to bow out and allow this woman to navigate those waters as she sees fit, that is. What do you think? 800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. It's a free call. You do not have to give your name, but we would love to hear from you. There's some very encouraging stories in the news this week, too, as you're working your way to the phone. One is that Tim Tebow has opened a hospital in the Philippines with the Cure Organization. The Tebow Cure Hospital has opened, and it's designed, as they say, to share the love of Jesus and bring physical healing, according to the Cure CEO. This was built by a foundation of the former NFL quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner and the Christian organization Cure International in Davao City and inaugurated on Friday in the Philippines. The ribbon cutting and an open house were part of the inauguration ceremony of the hospital, which specializes in treating children with orthopedic conditions, Cure said in a statement. And this is such a lovely, redemptive, full-circle act for Tim Tebow to be establishing a healing ministry in the Philippines. If you know the story of his mother, Pam Tebow, Pam and Bob, his parents, you know that it was when they were serving as missionaries in the Philippines that Pam got very sick, life-threateningly ill with amoebic dysentery. And the doctor said although she was pregnant, she needed to abort and terminate that pregnancy or her life would be threatened. She had lost a tremendous amount of weight. But more importantly, the amoebic dysentery causes the placenta to detach in almost every case. She refused. She and Bob prayed. They put themselves in God's hands. And the resulting child is Tim Tebow. At delivery, the doctor said that there was just enough of attachment of the placenta for the child to be nourished. And he had physical problems when he was born. But as we know, they overcame. And now he's established a healing center for children in Davao City in the Philippines. To me, that's just a beautiful story. I heard Pam Tebow at a fundraising banquet a number of years ago, and maybe you saw her ad that ran in the Super Bowl a few years ago when she talked about how doctors encouraged her to abort. But trusting God led to such a beautiful outcome for their family. So I'm really encouraged by that. On the other hand, there's a story that's a little bit challenging, and we've got this thing posted at our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/cradlemyheart. And this is a story of a school that put up a poster about having good character at prom. And it caused a firestorm at the school, and the headline says, "School posts anti-abortion group's slut-shaming prom poster suggesting only virgins have good character." And really, I don't think that that's what the poster actually suggested. It simply said, if you have good character, you'll be considered classy, brave, courageous, charming, fearless, honest, determined, etc. And the student who saw this, and then the headline, and those attributes fill in the silhouette of a girl in a prom ball gown. And the headline says, "A night to protect her character." Protecting her character, assuring that she remains classy, courageous, charming, fearless, honest, doesn't say that those who are sexually active have no character, but this was the conclusion of one of the students. Lincoln High senior Kelsey Schindel said she tore down the poster when she saw it because it's basically saying your character depends on whether or not you have sex, and if you have sex, you won't have any character. She confronted the principal and offered to make new posters from the school with a positive message of acceptance because she said just about everybody I've talked to sees just how messed up that poster really is, and the principal should know the effect that it has and how people feel, and it's not just my opinion that people are offended by this idea that protecting a girl's character is a bad thing to do, and that choosing not to force yourself on a girl sexually or persuade her or coerce her or get her drunk, protect her, that this somehow shames girls who have made the choice to become sexually active. The world is so upside down, isn't it? Tell me what you think about this one. 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003. You know, the whole notion of slut shaming is it's an in-your-face provocation from the promoters of the sexual revolution who didn't get the memo that it has failed. It has failed our girls, it has failed our women, it has failed our families. The sexual disease epidemics that are out there, the epidemics of depression in girls on college campuses because of the hookup culture, we've covered all of these stories. And to characterize that failed policy and those who speak against it as slut-shaming, it just shows, I think, the desperation of folks who know that they may have lost the battle for hearts and minds already. Tell me what you think about that. 800-811-3003 is our phone number. 800-811-3003. Kim Cotola is my name. And again, we're at cradlemyheart.org. If you want to go and listen to the podcasts of our previous programs, you can always do that. Search the archives. We've had so many great guests through the years. And we've been on the air almost 3 years now. And so I appreciate your support. And you know, we are a nonprofit organization. And so your support is really important to us. And if you are able to give, we are 501c3, that is nonprofit organization. We have a donation button for you to make an easy PayPal donation on our website. And what that would mean for us is that we would be able to place the program on more radio stations so that more people could hear the message of mercy and grace after abortion and the message that trusting in God will enable us to choose life, even in the most dire of circumstances, in the most terrible problem pregnancies that exist. I'm not unaware of the problems that women face, but God's love is there to see us through. 800-811-3003. And if you have had an abortion in your past that remains unhealed, please know that today is the International Bereaved Mother's Day. This is a fairly new project. It started in 2010. And we're going to put a link up at cradlemyheart.org, because with Mother's Day coming up this week, I know that it's not always the happiest of days for those who are missing a child that they've lost to abortion, miscarriage, or by other means. Know that you have our prayers, and know that God's love extends even into the deepest hurts that we're able to experience. Part of what we did, you know, when we started this program was try to provide a forum so that you would know that you are not alone. So that somehow, week in and week out, as you listen to the stories of others, you would know that someone somewhere has experienced something very similar to you, and that yet God's love has broken through to repair, to restore, and to, as God's word says, to make us better than before. I hope you're so encouraged by the caller who shared her story tonight. Very wrong decisions and choices made in her marriage, and yet she stands firm in her faith, firm in God's love, firm on God's word to choose life. I pray that the same will be true for you. Thank you so much for listening tonight. Be sure and join us next week. Go to cradlemyheart.org for our program notes to see what's coming up next, and visit us on Facebook too. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.